This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. We got Congressman Chip Roy coming up about a half hour from now. You know, I don't really have politicians much on the show, but Chip is one of the great ones. And I want to know what's happening with the budget stuff. Just how quickly is the GOP going to cave? We'll get down to the nitty gritty of it with Chip. But I want to do some emails. First, I want to dig into this assassination stuff a little bit more because I did get this email. Hey, Jesse, you for a long while talked about a great point. I've not heard you mention it in a while. This guy that was in a position to shoot at Trump while he was playing golf made me think back to some earlier discussions about language leading to mindset and mindset leading to action. He asked that I don't say his name, so he actually brings up a really good point. Let's talk about this. I'm looking at some. This is from The Blaze, but it was a poll taken by Rasmussen. I want to make sure they get credit for it. Rasmussen did a poll, and 28% of registered Democrats say it would have been better if Donald Trump had been killed. That's more than a quarter. Say it would have been better if Trump died. Now, you can sit and just say, man, these people were evil, these people were murderous, these people are monsters, and that's fine. But monsters, they aren't real. We like to imagine that some human beings are just monsters, and I've used that language too, but it's not true. Like when you think, who's someone evil? ISIS. Remember the horrible stuff ISIS was doing? Butchering babies and just horrible stuff, burning people alive. And we looked at those guys and we said, hey, those are demons, those are monsters. And there may be demonic forces at work there. There definitely are, but those are flesh and blood human beings. I'm not saying this out of kindness to them. They're flesh and blood human beings who've been conditioned and programmed over time to become the monsters they are now. So we look at them and we call them monsters, and that's fine. You call them whatever you want to call them, but understand with the right amount of conditioning to the right person, people can become demons, evil, monsters, murderers. Nazis, it's a great example too. We think about Nazis, Nazi camp guard. How could you do that? How could you just lead people to their death in the masses? How could you do that? That's not a human being. That's a monster. No. It's a human being who had been programmed and conditioned over time. How do you program people over time? You do it like this.
Just to clarify, so sure. You're saying that the president and vice president believe that former President Donald Trump should be toning down his rhetoric?
So I'll say this. President Biden has been clear-eyed about the threat that the former president represents to our democracy.
You condition people like this.
It's between two very different ideas about what our country should be. And it's between, democracy and autocracy. It's between freedom and oppression.
Language does lead to mindset. And mindset leads to performance. It sounds crazy, but it's true and it works. And we've seen examples of this throughout history. If I wanted to, now my sons are wonderful, wonderful young men. They actually blow me away and kind of make me ashamed at how much better people they are than I am. But if I wanted to turn my sons into racists, If that was a desire of mine, I could do that. You know that? These are wonderful young men who don't have any of that in them. They just don't have that kind of prejudice in them. But if I wanted them to, to make this about Jewish producer Chris, if I wanted my sons to hate Jews, I could probably do that. They're maybe a little bit old now. Maybe they could fight through it. But if I started at home, hey, man, Jews this and Jews that, these Jews, and man, I hate Jews, nothing worse than Jews. If I started that in my home over a long enough period of time, I could raise two young men who hate Jewish people. I could. And if you're a person who consumes Democrat propaganda, you listen when Democrat politicians speak, you pay attention to the news programs, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC. When you read the paper, you read the New York Times. When you pay attention to Hollywood stars, go to the movies, listen to their interviews. If you're a human being who has consumed that, and that's how Democrats live, if you've consumed that for years, you have had threat to democracy, Hitler, threat to democracy, Hitler, threat to democracy, beaten into your head over and over and over and over and over and over again. And eventually, with enough time and enough programming, you can convince yourself that you are fighting against Hitler and a threat to democracy. And if you've convinced yourself of that, if you've convinced yourself you're fighting against Hitler, it's not exactly a big leap to want him to die, is it? Who doesn't want Hitler to die? Everyone wants Hitler to die. If you manage to convince the average American Democrat that he's fighting against Hitler, he will lay down in traffic if it means stopping him. And if you program enough Democrats in that way, you're obviously going to eventually find a person who's willing to act on that. If I, we have a couple extra guys here in the studio today because TV production's in town. So we have Matt and Melso here in the studio. So we got four people, including me, in the studio today. If I went to Matt and Melso and I said, hey, Chris deserves to be beaten with a baseball bat. Sorry, Chris, just using you as an example. I'm not saying they're going to do it, although they might. It wouldn't be bad. Anyway, but if I said Chris deserves to be beaten with a baseball bat, they would probably laugh and say, no, that's horrible. You can't do that. But if I, you know, I did the Tucker Carlson Live thing last night. I was, of course, the headliner, not that I was going to brag or anything. But if I did what, Chris, if I did the Tucker Carlson headliner thing last night, and there were, I think there were 8,000 people, they filled the place. Every seat was sold. It was full. And if I stood up in front of 8,000 people and I said, Chris deserves to be beaten with a baseball bat to 8,000 people. Well, I only need one wing nut to hear that and act on that. Only takes one. Now think about how many years, this is why I say we are already a culture of assassination and people just haven't accepted it yet. How many years have we heard? Hitler, threat to democracy. Oh, look, I got this email and it's totally true. Dear vassal of Michael Berry, that's hilarious. I was listening to Monday's podcast when you that we are a culture of assassination. Do you remember when a couple New Jersey Republican local leaders were shot within a week of each other? During the midterms, Lee Zeldin was attacked on stage. Scalise and other Republicans being shot at. I didn't remember Scalise being shot at. Kavanaugh targeted by an assassin. It's already here. And he just laid out a lot of this stuff. His name is Nick. But it is true. Why do these things keep happening? Why do we have people on the right, judges, politicians, and otherwise, being shot at, attempted stabbings? Why does this stuff keep happening? Yeah, good point, Chris. The congressional baseball game. Dude was a Bernie Sanders supporter who thought the GOP was going to take away health care and all this stuff, radicalized by the language of the left. And you do that enough times to enough people, it's a guarantee. It's not a maybe. It's a guarantee. Someone's going to act on that. I mentioned the Chris thing. Look, we're blessed to have this huge radio show now, which is ridiculous. Obviously, nothing I deserve, but it's amazing. But the audience is enormous. People are listening to me from New York to Honolulu. If I did the Chris, someone needs to beat Chris. If I sat here every night and I said that every single night, someone would do it eventually. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee. You repeat that kind of language enough times to enough people, someone will act on that. They will. It's why I've called us already a culture of assassination. Even if they don't get Trump, and I hope they don't, but even if they don't, they will get other Republicans. Republicans will die. Now, because Democrats, as you see from this poll, a third of Democrats already think in these terms. Life or death, fighting against Hitler, threat to democracy, kill him! You say that long enough to enough people, then you have already programmed people in the society to believe that violence and death and murder are simply a necessary part of the political process. And that's where we are right now. All right, I'm going to do some emails. One more quick word on this, and I'm going to do some emails before we get to Chip Roy in about 20 minutes from now. Before I do that, let's make sure we are prepared to live in a society that is a little rougher than it should be and going to be rougher. Now, these problems aren't going to go away after November. No matter what happens in November, win, lose, these problems are going to persist because we've conditioned a large quantity of this population. How are your T levels, gentlemen? When's the last time you got your testosterone levels checked? Do you need a nap at 3 o'clock every afternoon? Are you in a bad mood a lot, down a lot, depressed a lot? You drink estrogen. It's in the waters. It's in the plastics. Testosterone levels have dropped by 50% in 50 years. We've lost half of our testosterone in 50 years. Get a male vitality stack from Chalk. All natural herbal supplements. I've been taking one for 3 years. Gosh, I feel so good. And then email me after 90 days and tell me how you feel. Get a subscription. It saves you money. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is The Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and you need to get your questions emailed in right now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. One more word on the assassination attempt of Donald Trump. Josh Hawley's been one of the guys who's been all over this. A whistleblower from the Secret Service dropped this little tidbit. Quote, as a result, the whistleblower alleges it has been Secret Service protocol to post up agents at these vulnerable spots. They're talking about vulnerable spots on the golf course when Trump visits the course. That apparently did not happen on September 15th. Instead, the gunman was permitted to remain along or near the fence line for some 12 hours. 12 hours. 12 hours the man laid there in a sniper's nest. No Secret Service agent found him and removed him. And the question remains, how did he know Donald Trump was going to play golf that day? There are not many people who would know that information. There's a reason people like Donald Trump don't list their daily activities. There's a reason, because there are a bunch of murderous commie demons out there who will use that information. How did this guy know Donald Trump was playing golf? Why did the Secret Service not have someone checking things out the way they normally do? These are interesting questions. Dear Jesse, I wanted to pass along my gratitude for helping me blow away the competition when I immediately knew the answer to this trivia question. All thanks to you and your amazing show. My husband and I have been loyal listeners since day one. Your sultry voice keeps me motivated and informed every morning while getting ready for work. We moved from communist Washington to the free state of Florida 3 years ago and couldn't be happier. Best to you and your family and Jewish producer Chris. The question was about the Frito Bandito. How freaking great is that?
Ay, 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 ay. I am the Frito Bandito. I like Fritos corn chips. I love them, I do. I want Fritos corn chips. I'll get them from you. Ay, 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 ay.
Oh, I am the Frito Bandito. Give me Fritos corn chips and I'll be your friend. The Frito Bandito, you must not offend. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos.
Speaking of Spanish.
I love you back.
I love you back, mommy. I can't wait for that to be on the soundboard. That's so good. All right. Hey, Dr. Bandito. So happy to you finally on the airwaves in Virginia Beach. Yeah, I love Virginia Beach. I made the decision to get involved in my kids' elementary school by joining the school planning council that will review and monitor a school plan for continuous improvement. Only three of us signed up. I couldn't just stand by anymore and not speak my mind to protect all the kids in their school. Thank you for always encouraging us to get involved at a local level. His name is Cameron. Or her name is Cameron. I guess that can go either way. That's awesome, Cameron. That is awesome. You, every single one of you who is getting involved, that's how we win. The soft underbelly of American communism is their local political power. Very little you and I could do right now to affect serious change in Washington, D.C., but locally, the communists are vulnerable. That commie on your school board, you can win. You can. No one even votes. No one even knows about school board. You dig in and work, you can win. Your city council, your board of supervisors, constable, I don't care what it is. Find a local position, even in your red area, and I bet if you dig a little bit, you will find you have filthy commies running your local government at various levels because they're the only ones who run for it. And they've just been enjoying sitting there doing everything they can do to advance the commie cause. And people don't know it. And they're vulnerable. It's look, here's the truth. I rant about running out senators and congressmen. And I mean that. And we need to do that. And we need to fight for that. It's important. But it's very, very difficult to get rid of like a Mitch McConnell type. There's a reason he's been there for so long. They raise so much money. They flood the airwaves. Republican primary voters are so stupid and lazy. They'll look at a TV commercial with Mitch McConnell talking about building the wall, and they'll go vote for him thinking he's decent. It's hard to overcome that. You don't have to overcome that when you're running for city council, when you're running for school board. It's a little bit of shoe leather. Got to go out and meet and greet some people. Sorry, introverts. I do it all the time. You've got to do it too. I know what it's like, okay? I know what it's like to have the social battery running down the second you get in someplace. I get it. Go. Go win. Go steal power from a communist. Legal and local is how we take back this country. All right. Speaking of McConnell, Republican leadership, and other things, this budget thing. It's just awful. It looks like it's going bad, but maybe it's going well. I don't know. Congressman Chip Roy is going to join us next. I don't like very many congressmen. I do like this one a lot. He's been great since he's been there. I've been so impressed. So let's figure out what's going on and how bad it is. Before we do that, let's talk about Tunnel to Towers. Let's talk about widows and orphans. We are commanded, you and I, to care for widows and orphans. It wasn't presented as an option. We are commanded to. Widows and orphans are to be cared for, not ignored and cast aside. One way you can do that is giving to Tunnel to Towers, because that's who they care for. Gold Star families, fallen first responder families. When that fireman doesn't come home, his wife, his kids, what are they left with? Well, a lot of pain, but bills that just Tunnel to Towers is paying off their mortgages, building them entire communities in Florida. That's what you do when your $11 a month goes to Tunnel to Towers. Sign up to give it automatically, and you will never even know it's gone. T2T.org is where you go. T2T.org. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. I didn't even know you could steal a subway car, a subway train. What, Chris? This is an amazing story. Police say a pair took a New York City subway train on a joyride and crashed it. Now, you know, I would never, ever encourage you to break the law. And I certainly don't want you to steal anything at all. That said, that's kind of awesome. That's a, what, Chris? Tell me that wouldn't be fun. I didn't know they were empty. How do you even steal? What, Chris? What? It's on one track and you can't go that fast? Those subways fly, dude. Haven't you ever seen one of those videos of people getting splattered by them? I guess you wouldn't. We're in Texas. Well, I've been on the New York City subway more than once, and those things are moving lots of the time, buddy. It would be so much fun to get in there and I'm even making the sound. That's what it sounds like, Chris. I don't. Why are you resisting?
I love you back.
I love you back, Chris. Mamacita. Dear Jesse, as you were talking about the culture of assassination, I was reminded of the movie 6 Degrees of Separation. And I realized none of us have to look very far to find a communist connection who might want us dead. An extremely liberal friend of mine in California didn't waste any time fishing for my vaccination status. When I didn't take the bait, she went on to opine that anyone who refused the vaccine can be considered a murderer. I decided not to call her anymore. Does the culture of assassination go hand in hand with the Great Sorting? Well, yes. I know we have a bunch of new listeners, especially after the Tucker thing last night, so I need to explain something. COVID, what you saw during COVID, it was a great sorting, meaning sorting things out. It was a great sorting, and you should use that terrible time in American history as a sorting. What am I talking about? Well, that family member or friend of yours who turned into a monster during COVID. You can't visit without your vax card. No, I don't want to see my granddaughter. She's not even vaccinated. Maybe it was your mom. Maybe it was your son. Your brother. Your coworker. That person who turned into a monster during COVID, what that person is a programmable commie herd member. They're a member of a herd, and they want to be a member of a herd. The herd animal is deathly afraid of people leaving the herd, and the herd animal will react violently if people attempt to leave the herd. And the herd animal goes wherever the herd is going. So when I call COVID the great sorting, what I'm saying is you found out the person in your life who will turn on you in a dime the next time the government, the next time the system tells them you're the enemy for whatever reason. And I don't know what reason that is. They'll come up with something else. The next time may not be a virus of any kind. Who knows? It'll be some political position or who knows what it is. But the next time the system goes to your mom, the mom who wouldn't let you visit, the next time the system tells your mother that you're the enemy for some reason, she will believe it all the way. She already proved that. And she proved that her reliance on the system, her desire to remain part of the herd, supersedes her love
for you. I know that is hard to hear. It is not easy to say because I know how much that, how deep those wounds go. I got the saddest freaking emails during COVID, and none of them were about people dying from COVID. It was about people who had been rejected by family members over all that. Jesse, my son won't let me visit. I've never met my granddaughter. Horrible stuff like that. And I look, if you've made amends, great. That's fine. Make amends. Whatever. I'm not here to break families apart. But you had better understand and accept the next time the system is finding a way to label you the enemy, that same son, he's going to turn on you again. Like that. He will turn on you when he's told to turn on you. And that sounds crazy, but if you look at any part of the history of communism, family members turning in other family members is not only common, it is glorified and celebrated by an evil communist regime like ours. Remember I told you that one story about Pavel? It was a story in the Soviet Union under Stalin. They made plays in songs about the story of Pavel. Who was Pavel? He was a young boy, and I believe it was his dad and his uncle were hoarding grain. They were keeping food for themselves instead of turning it into the state. And Pavel went and told on them, and then they murdered him. And no one knows whether or not it was a true story. No one can, but that didn't matter. Immediately, Pavel was held up as this hero by the Soviet Union. Why? He turned in his own father for the motherland, for the system itself. Family members turning on each other is encouraged in a communist system. Always has been, always will be. And this goes back to something we talked about earlier in the show, and we've talked about a million times. Shattering the family unit is essential for these people. Strong nuclear families produce healthy, happy adults. Your children will grow up to be healthier and happier. And a healthy, happy human being doesn't choose an evil, demonic religion like communism. Malcontents, bitter people, losers, that's who chooses communism. And so they try to produce more of them, all right? They're also running the food supply, so that's generally not good. What do you have for emergency food? Go check out your pantry right now. If you're at home, check out your pantry and be honest with yourself. It wouldn't even hurt to do this. When I did this, I got a cardboard box out and I put it on the counter and I walked in there and I was just trying to figure out how long can the four of us eat if an EMP goes off, if the grocery store closes, how long can we eat? How much non-perishable food do I have in the house? You have way less than you think. My Patriot Supply has 4-week emergency food kits. Buy one for everyone who lives in your home. No matter what happens, you will be eating for 4 weeks. Great calories, great food. They even taste good. They have $50 off these 4-week food kits right now. PrepareWithJesse.com. PrepareWithJesse.com is how you get $50 off your 4-week emergency food kit. Everyone who lives in your home needs one. PrepareWithJesse.com, all right? We still have an hour. Hang on. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And joining me now, my friend, one of the best people we have in Congress. I wish we had about 435 of him. Congressman Chip Roy from here in the great state of Texas. Chip, honestly, before we get into anything else, can you describe the congressional cafeteria? Is it legit or is it garbage?
Well, before I go there, did you open with that bumper music on purpose? You know that that was the song that I infamously quoted in the Judiciary Committee when I was talking about justice involving, you know, oak trees and ropes. And I got into a little bit of trouble because the radical Dems went after me and I just doubled down and gave them the finger. And I said, I'm not sticking with it. Because that's what happened. Like, it became a whole thing. Toby Keith was trending literally for, like, 2 days because of me in a hearing.
I actually did not know that, and that wasn't me who played it. It was Jewish producer Chris who played it. Chris, did you know it? Did you do that randomly? Oh, he knew it. Oh, he knew. Oh, he did know. See, I have to give Chris credit. You know I don't ever want to give Chris credit for anything. He did know it, and that's why he played it for you. That's freaking cool. I forgot about that story. That's sweet. Gosh, you make these people so mad. All right, back to the cafeteria. Tell me about the situation.
Yeah, I literally have no idea. I'm not a cafeteria guy. If I go to the cafeterias to get a drink, it's kind of one of those places that I avoid. I try to go get whatever free food I can scarf up anywhere around.
You hate it in D.C., don't you, Chip?
I mean, this place is kind of a cesspool. You know, it's funny. I'll tell you a funny story. So I was in the middle of ranting about something, which is pretty much every single day on the Hill. And I was walking across the House floor, and two guys from the same state were sitting on the floor. One of them is a Freedom Caucus guy. The other guy's not. And they're sitting there, and the non-Freedom Caucus guy looks at me and goes, "Chip, why do you hate everybody?" And I just looked at him. I said, "Oh, man, I don't hate everybody. I love everybody. I just hate everybody here." And a whole bunch of people around me heard it. And they just got like kind of, you got eye rolling, and then you got some laughter. And look, I mean, the truth is, look, there's some good people here, and there's good friends here that I do love and respect. There's some great veterans, people, you know that. Look, the place is what it is. And you have too many people here who want to take the easy road. And that, by the way, cuts across the entire ideological spectrum. You know, sometimes you have to take arrows in order to try to move the ball forward. Because, and you say this well, people talk a big game when they say things like Texit, or they say things about national divorce. And when you start saying, and you raise this all the time, and look, these are legitimate conversations that we're having. That's not just made up stuff. It's not, but people say it like it's easy. And, you know, so my view is I took an oath of the Constitution as a member of Congress. My job is to go there and represent 750,000 Texans. It's to vote no against all the garbage. It's to stand up and fight. But, yes, occasionally it's to kind of work and figure out how to build a coalition to move the effing needle. And that's what we tried to do in the speaker's fight. That's what we did with H.R. 2. That's what we did when we moved the Limit, Save, Grow. Did I know that in the end it would get jammed by the Senate? Sure. But we're moving the needle, right? Because now HR 2 is the talking point about the border. Now we moved and we talked about budget caps that they're busting. We passed the SAVE Act. Yes, the Democrats are jamming up. Every day that we move the ball forward down that field is a day we're setting the stage for hopefully Donald Trump or Republicans in the spring to man up and finally deliver on what we've been saying for three decades we deliver on.
Speaking with Congressman Chip Roy from Texas. Okay, Chip, where are we at in the budget stuff? Every day you wake up, it stalls here, it stalls there, it failed here. So are we looking at a government shutdown, which you know I love, but that's not generally popular. What are we looking at? What's coming?
Well, so you and I both would love to see a shutdown. I'm in a weird spot right now because I leaned into trying to advance what I thought President Trump had put out there, I think wisely, that we needed to move the SAVE Act with any funding mechanism. And the best funding mechanism that I saw that we could move as a Republican Party, as weak as it is, with the surrender caucus within the party, I thought a six-month spending freeze continuing resolution to March was the best thing we could do. Why? Well, a freeze is better than an increase. I know we can't get cuts in the next 5 weeks, and I don't believe that they'll have the fortitude to do a shutdown. So if that's the case, then I want to have a fight on the SAVE Act, and I want to move the spending all the way to March so there isn't a Christmas omnibus. We got overwhelming support generally. We had to browbeat back some of the spending hawks and some of the appropriators and the defense hawks. We had to push them back because they were freaking out because they want their Christmas omnibus. But they went along with the plan. But unfortunately, some of my best friends on the Hill, some of my conservatives, they were like, nope, I can't do it. I'm not going to vote for that. That's just kicking the can down the road. And look, I respect where they're coming from, but what the result is going to be, we're going to get a continuing resolution into December. It will be passed heavily by Democrat votes, and then we will be waking up on November 6th having to figure out how to manage through that in December rather than just focusing on reconciliation, kicking Democrats' ass in January. So that's what we're going to do. That was a long-winded way to say we had a lot of noise. We elevated the SAVE Act. The RNC guys are saying, thanks, Chip, for elevating the SAVE Act, talking about the fact that illegals are voting. We accomplished that. And look, we're just going to get a spending, you know, continuing resolution into December. Now we're going to have to fight off an omnibus Christmas bill. and then try to get into the next year. And now the most important thing is to win, and it would help if we didn't have governors in North Carolina having to step down because they're, you know, doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. I saw those headlines. That's certainly not ideal. Okay, so, Chip, this omnibus in December, I hate these freaking things. I'm still angry about the last one they passed in the lame duck session, another $1 trillion monstrosity.
Can I tell you a funny story on that?
Yeah.
I put out a letter with about 20 of my colleagues in December of that year leading up to that $1.7 trillion omnibus that we blew our stacks over, rightly so. And in that letter, I said, I will not vote for any piece of legislation from any of the senators that voted for Republican senators, well, frankly, Democrats, any of the senators who voted for that bill. So now every time a bill comes up, John Cornyn, it doesn't matter. I vote no. Doesn't matter what the bill is. I vote no. I've been like one guy on the board, and people are like, why are you voting against, you know, autistic children or whatever that? And I was like, well, because these guys are racking up debt, and so I'm a no. So I've put out a statement every time there's a bill on the floor, and I vote no, and they're like, why are you the only no? Usually there's two or three, and it's because of that, and that omnibus, because that's what they do. They screw us. We get a $1.7 trillion omnibus, all sorts of garbage packed into it. Initial Ukraine funding was in that bill. You remember that? That was when pop of money was in there in that December omnibus. So now I think the speaker is staking out a position in opposition to the December omnibus, but we'll see what the pressures are. Like, we'll see what happens when all the hawks and everybody go, oh, we got to have our defense money and we got to have our Ukraine money. So it's going to take a lot of work on our part and the speaker to recognize that we're going to have to kick this into next year. So now we've created a fight we didn't need to have in December to try to hold off a big spending bill just to get to the world of Trump, which is going to be hard enough to hold the spending line. But at least when we get there, we can at least control the pen. Why would we give the pen to Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer? Never made any sense to me.
Chip, I know you're part of I've only got about a minute left, but I know you're part of the House, not the Senate. But I am gravely concerned about the little birdies who are whispering in my ear that the next GOP leader in the Senate is going to be John Cornyn. And I'm not going to ask you to speak about that unless you want to. But my concern is this. The good ones don't run for leadership. We don't have that many good senators, and they don't run for leadership. So you have to choose between turd and stinky turd, John Cornyn or John Thune. Why can't we get the best ones running for leadership positions? That's where we need them.
The problem in the Senate is numbers. You've got 49 Republican senators right now. If we're lucky, we'll have 51, 2, or 3, right? So we're hoping to have, quote, control of the Senate. But what does, quote, control of the Senate mean when Susan Collins is an appropriator who's out there talking about all of the garbage that you and I oppose, and she's the chair of appropriation? Well, she's the ranking member now, but she'd be the chair of appropriations. The problem is a majority of the Senate Republicans suck. That's the bottom line. Yeah. They suck. So if you have a majority that sucks, you can't build the votes to have a truly righteous conservative warrior as your Senate Republican majority leader. So we need to do a better job in primaries. And by the way, there are a lot of people who are in the Senate, and they run on all these things, and they pretend to be conservatives. But you go look at their voting rate. They go back home to their state, and they claim to be a warrior for life or for spending or whatever. Go look at their voting records. They're god-awful. Yep. I'll have a senator text me and say, good job, Chip, on something I'm saying. And then I'll see them go down to the floor and vote the exact opposite because it's a club. So we need more people to push back and fight to break it up. And, you know, we need Ted and Mike Lee and Rick Scott and Ron Johnson and Rand Paul. And, you know, those guys, they got to just grab the mantle and run. And J.D. was doing a good job. Now he's obviously, you know, hopefully he'll be the vice president. But and you know, look, as president of the Senate, he ought to exert more power. But anyway, I've gone over your minute. But great to be on your show as always, brother. Thank you for what you do.
You the man, Chip. Appreciate you. I know you got to run. Chip Roy, everyone. You know what else I appreciate? Saving money. I don't want to sound like Chris, but I really, really like saving money. And, you know, we were paying, we had T-Mobile before. Our cell phone bill, I still can't get over this, was $148 a month. $148 a month. Isn't that an amazing amount of money? We switched to Pure Talk, the patriotic cell phone company. My coverage didn't get worse. My coverage got better, and our bill is half. that now. Half that. That's amazing. That's a night out at Red Lobster I saved every single month. Switch to Pure Talk. Not only are you done supporting communist companies, you're supporting one who loves you, and you'll save money. Don't we all need to save money right now? Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. That'll save you even more, all right? We'll be back.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
This is an iHeart podcast.